If it's true, as Napoleon once observed, that an army marches on its stomach, it may be equally true that a culture feeds, both spiritually and physically, on its cuisine. Commentator John Jefferson, who lives in Tennessee, says in the Deep South, deep fried prevails.
Mention oil imports here in the South, and you're likely to conjure up visions of Mazzola being trucked in from the Midwest. This is the region culinarily synonymous with fatback, fried green tomatoes, and my coronary artery's personal favorite, sawmill gravy. That's a wallpaper paste-looking concoction whipped up from sausage grease, flour, and milk. This is the place that made Colonel Sanders not just a rich man, but a holy man, the high priest of the batter dipped and deep fried. Of course, the national obsession with youth and immortality being what it is, lean cuisine has established a beachhead even here in Dixie. But the battle for the hearts and minds and waistlines of America is far from over, and diehard Southern cooks are not above guerrilla tactics. I was in a trendy restaurant in Atlanta, the capital of the new old South, but it might as well have been L.A. The menu featured fish and poultry, pasta and veggies. The word fried was conspicuously absent. Baked and broiled, sautéed and steamed, those were the verbs du jour. But there was something comfortingly familiar about the rolls, a light, delicate crunch to the crust, not the brusque, brittle shell of French bread or the unruly chewiness of sourdough. They were almost like donuts without the glaze. So I asked the waiter. He gave me a knowing wink and said yes, they were deep fried. We Southerners will have our minimum daily requirement of grease. It is the fifth basic food group, after all. This Dixie death grip on grease is about more than just cholesterol or calories or even taste. It really is about culture, the South's last stand against change, a way to hang on to a comforting piece of the past as more and more of our traditions and institutions are lost or lampooned or simply overshadowed by world hunger and the threat of war. But somehow when you're sitting around a dinner table with family and friends and the foods you grew up on and your parents and their parents grew up on, the problems of this September, or even this century, seem to slip away for a while. This fondness for frying is also about language, the verbal cornstarch that glues a culture together. It's really grease, not linguistics, that explains the much-maligned Southern drawl. It's kind of hard to make a glottal stop when your glottis and your epiglottis are thoroughly lubricated. And it's nigh on to impossible to keep you all from gliding out as y'all. You can turn our cotton fields into shopping malls. You can convert our old-time religion to new-age mysticism. You can even reduce the Grand Ole Opry to a hokey hillbilly theme park. But you can't make us say, you skies. And you can't take our frying pans away. Long as everybody understands that, we can be real neighborly. So come see us. And be sure you stay for dinner.
John Jefferson lives in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.